Our program might be slightly different from some of the other ones we've heard about this morning. The program is called Environmental Action for Children's Health, and our motto is that each child deserves a healthy home. This was a coalition of public, private, and housing and health entities. The contributing authors to the study were Lisa Smestat, who's was meant to be here today, Kay Kufal, and she works with Pediatric Home Service, which was a respiratory therapist, medical provider, Jim Yannarelli, who works with St. Paul Ramsey County Health Department in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Angie Carlson, who did all of our data analysis from Data Intelligence Consultants, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Our program really encompassed had a two-prong approach, and that is we sent out an environmental inspector to each home as well as a respiratory therapist to do an assessment of the home and assessment of the child's asthma, the management of their asthma symptoms. And we call this the Minnesota model because it really has been successful in many different ways, getting involved and getting those housing inspectors and code compliance officers involved, as well as the respiratory therapist, and getting everybody out to the home at the same time. This is a health outcomes study. Let's see if I can adjust this. There we go. Which began at the baseline assessment, and we continued up to the 12-month mark with all of the families that were enrolled. We did talk with the families 3, 6, 9, and 12 months afterwards. And this is the abstract that I believe is published in the bulletin somewhere, and it's just kind of some of the things that I talked about without all the paragraph. The activities began with our program, was 2003 through 2006, and the children were assessed and referred through physicians, schools. We also had weatherization programs, our housing departments, health departments, daycare associations, rehab programs, other nonprofits, community-based organizations all really became involved, which took a little bit of time, really, to get up and running. You have to get your word out. As far as what your initiatives are, what you can do for these families. The program obviously centered on assessment of the home environment and the asthma management of the child. The end result is of the home assessment is an environmental asthma action plan. Who we served in those 3 years, there was a wide range of the severity of the asthma symptoms that were being reported, and our greatest population was in the 50% moderate persistent asthma. 66% of these families that we served lived in rental properties, and the average age of the child was 8.2 years. At baseline, the children living in these homes had on average 0.5 hospitalizations, 1.1 emergency department visits, 1.4 episodes of oral prednisone use, and 7.0 missed days of school. And this was recorded prior to the intervention. The most commonly identified problems were pets that were inappropriate for the children that have asthma. Anything with hair, basically, could have been the trigger. And a lot of the times, parents were unsure or were not aware that these pets could have been triggering asthma episodes in the children. Indoor smoking was a very big problem, so we encouraged that parents or any family members smoke outside or try to quit smoking. And cleanliness. A lot of our families did not have the tools to keep a clean house, which was obviously an impact that we could assist with. The most commonly provided products were vacuums with HEPA filters, bags, no bagless No good. HEPA air cleaners, bedding encasements, carbon monoxide detectors, and smoke detectors to help out with the, some of the common safety problems we saw in these homes. The most common structural modifications we did, which were a little bit, they were very small in scale. We worked with the budget for 330 homes that we did interventions in. We worked with the budget, we'll talk about a little bit later, but it was about $700 per home with products being provided, and 100% of those cases usually in the $300 mark. So on the other hand, we did do a couple of slight, you know, simple projects such as sheetrock removal, correction of ventilation systems, and we did work with the daycare association that helped to install ventilation systems with some of their resources, so we could piggyback on some of their programs, as well as some of the weatherization programs in our community that that was able to cover the costs of getting some ventilation upgrades. Also, removal of improper building materials such as carpet and bathrooms and kitchens. Yeah. Just not appropriate for any housing. So the results of our study, first of all, I should mention that 421 children were studied over that 1 year. Well, 3 years, but each child was studied for 1 year. This is some pretty technical data. I'm not a statistician, so if you guys have any stat questions, I'll try to get you the phone number to the person who did the stats. So the baseline, the mean number of asthma-related hospitalizations at the initial visit was 0.47 visits, and at 12 months, the mean number was at 0.0, so we find that very significant. And here's the data shown just a little bit of a different way. Okay, decreases in the mean number of asthma-related emergency department visits at 3 and 12 months. So from baseline, 1.09, 3 months and 12 months were significantly lower. And the change in, same information. Change in mean number of uses of oral corticosteroids, baseline 1.43, down through the 3, 6, and 9 months. 12 months there was a rise, again, which could be attributed to many different factors. The information is shown here again another way. And significantly, the number of days of school that was missed per child was reduced from 7.0 days to the 2.25 over the 12 months, with significantly lower in between. Changes in asthma symptom burden. We found that that at baseline there was a high report of daytime symptoms. At the 12 months, the symptom was reduced. The higher the number here, which is 66.0 at 12 months, is actually the less symptom burden. Nighttime symptoms. Baseline at 45.0 to 12 months was 72.9, quite an improvement of nighttime symptoms. We're just going to skip through some of those slides because we are short on time today, but if you'd like to see them, I think they are uploaded. Functional limitations is the ability for the kids to go out and play and be physical and have that good quality of life that every child deserves. We saw a tremendous improvement from baseline to the 12-month mark. The higher the number here is the improvement. Okay, overall symptom improvement, we can see that the daytime symptoms improved from 11% to 51% nighttime symptoms, 22% to 52%, and the functional limitations from 19% to 67% improvement. I mentioned before that the average intervention costs of the products were around $300 to $400. If you include the program delivery cost per home, it was $764. This included the respiratory therapist that we contracted with to provide the in-home visits. The other types of interventions we completed, including some structural modifications, the average cost was $1,060. Products provided, we already covered that, the basic asthma checklist, the air cleaners and the HEPA vacuums, the bedding casements, safety issues, and the structural modifications we also covered as well. Other impacts were the we did education and outreach in the family home. We had the medical respiratory therapist come out and discuss and really hit home everything that was impacting these children about the way their background or their family life in the home. We also talked about smoking cessation or smoking outside. We tried to empower the residents by giving them information as well as giving them additional resources if possible to get the help they needed in other areas of their life, as well as we would give them integrated pest management kits so they could actually physically do some repairs. We also did some lead hazard referrals, some radon assessments. Basically, we had visual surveys throughout the whole process. We assumed that indoor air quality was poor based on the presence, what we were seeing, what we were smelling, and what we know as professional environmentalists. We also tried to get the residents involved as much as possible. Participants, the families, and the physicians believe that this was an essential service for our community, that the products that we provided wouldn't be available otherwise because of the cost of the products, and that extra teaching and support is instrumental in achieving these goals. The modification sustainability. This was, after the 12 months mark, were people still using their products? Were people still, achieving some benefit? Were they still working? Yes, they were. Yes, they still liked them, and yes, they kept using them. Some lessons learned. I'm down to 1 minute here. Basically, you need to have a good referral system with physicians, with clinics, really get them interested. We had the Children's Hospital in Minneapolis and Hennepin County Medical Center heavily involved in the referral system. They actually are still doing this to date. They are competing for the number of referrals they can get into our program per week. We get about 7 children each week currently from each hospital. And the two-prong approach is the intervention team, the medical provider and environmental specialist working together in the home. It's very important. We're going to skip over the family experience just for sake of time here, but basically, we found children that had medical insurance needs and other things. Okay. So, in conclusion, the next steps for us were following this study. Additional HUD funding would allow for us to increase program reach. We actually, because of the success of getting to the children, our target population that we needed to find in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Hennepin, Ramsey County, we did receive another grant for the years of 2006 through 2009. It's a demonstration project. And to date, we've done 152 asthma interventions. We've got 261 children enrolled. 117 of these households were very low income or qualify as very low income under CBDG guidelines and HUD guidelines. And surprisingly, we're finding a huge number of single head of households. 94 out of 152 are single head of households. So we really need to get going and keep going with this initiative. Thank you.